turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22. Just going to read one proverb today, one that is familiar, I think, to most of us. I know. I learned this proverb in Sunday school. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. As you have already noticed, in recognition of Children's Ministry Sunday, I am going to take one more sidetrack from the series that I've been doing on the Lord's Prayer in order to talk about this vital subject of training our children to know and love the Lord, which is what Children's Ministry is all about. And I've chosen as our text that proverb, just one single proverb, but like most proverbs, it is rich with wisdom and good counsel. I want to reflect on it today. Train up a child, or perhaps a little bit more close to the original, dedicate a child to his way, or the way that is right for him or for her. We had the honor today of witnessing the dedication of Marianne and Everett Engel as their parents have taken the step in what is said here to dedicate their children to the way that they should go and commit themselves in that process to lead them and guide them along that way. So this proverb emphasizes the importance of being intentional in the training of children. Think about that, being intentional in the training of children. Sometimes parenting, we just live life, don't we? And we just kind of deal with things as they come. And yet what Scripture calls us to do, especially in the training of our children, is to take the bull by the horns, to be intentional, to be dedicated, to dedicate ourselves and dedicate them to a path, and then to do what is necessary in order to lead them along that path. And the importance of that is so that when they grow up, they will continue to walk on the path in which they have been set. That, of course, is not an absolute promise. It doesn't always work out that way, does it? Sometimes we invest in the lives of our kids and we train them up the best that we can, and they abandon the path that we have set them on, and that is because they are free and they can decide in their own relationship with God how they will conduct it. But for those of us who have the opportunity to be parents, that responsibility is there for us. And it comes with the hope that if you do that, you are setting them on a path. There are no absolute guarantees. But when they grow old, at the very least, they will remember, if not follow. It reminds me a little bit, I think, of teaching a child to ride a bike. You remember learning how to ride a bike? For some of us, it was a lot longer ago than for others. But the whole idea of learning to ride a bike is that you start with the support of your parent, right? And they're behind you, kind of pushing this. I learned to ride a bike before there were training wheels, so I didn't get the benefit of that, and probably most of us did as well. And so you had to have your parent there kind of holding the seat, going along with you as you went, and really they were the ones that were holding you up, and they were the ones that were doing the work. You were pedaling, sort of, but they were pushing you along. In my case, my mom pushed me down a hill. She's a good mom, really, honest. But at some point, there has to be a transition that takes place from when they are supporting you to when you're going on your own. And that transition time is really important, because if you're holding on to the bike and you let go, and you let go when the bike is wobbling, then you've set that bike on a wobbly course, and catastrophe is soon to follow. But if you set that bike on a course when it's stable and steady and moving straight, then you have given your child the best chance that they have to continue along that path. And in a way, I think this proverb says something similar. The training of children was one of the most important tasks that God gave to the people of Israel when he called them out of Egypt and was preparing them to enter into the promised land. God had called his people to be the guardians of the truths that he had revealed to them. And as they lived by those truths and by the commands that God had entrusted to them, they would be a light to the other nations of the world, so that those other nations could see what true godliness and righteousness looked like. And so that seeing that and seeing the witness of God's people living out God's commands, the other nations of the world might desire to do that as well. There's a great passage in Isaiah chapter 2 where Isaiah talks about that, about people coming to Jerusalem and saying, "Teach us the ways of the Lord." That was the goal that God had for his people. So it was essential for them not only that they be faithful to God as individuals, but also that they teach their children to be faithful as well, so that the light of truth wouldn't go out when a generation passed away, but the witness to the nations would continue from generation to generation. And as we read through the Old Testament, we find that the people of Israel continually struggled to pass on the light of truth and the knowledge of God to their children. But because that was so important when Moses was preparing the people to enter into the promised land, he said, especially in the book of Deuteronomy, over and over again, he said things like, "Teach these truths to your children. Teach them to obey what God has commanded us to do. Teach them to love the Lord with all of their heart and with all of their mind, with all of their soul and all of their strength." In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 20, Moses said this. He said, "These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you rise up. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." So the training of their children in the way of the Lord was to be deeply ingrained in their way of life. It was to be included in everything that they did and everything that they said. And as they were mindful of God in the daily activities of their lives, they would teach their children that God is not detached from the daily concerns of life, but that he is involved in life. He is present even in the most mundane things. And Moses also commanded them this strange command that they were to write the commands of God on their doorposts and on their gates. And they took that literally and literally wrote on their doorposts and their gates and posted commands on their foreheads and wore them on their person. But I think what Moses was getting at was a different kind of idea, the idea of surround yourself with these truths. Fill your homes with them. That their homes would be characterized by obedience and faithfulness, so that their children would grow up in an environment that would nurture their spiritual life. And in that way, the knowledge of God and obedience to God and love of God would be passed from generation to generation. centuries later, the wisdom of the Proverbs continued to affirm the importance of that task. In fact, if you read the book of Proverbs, a central theme in Proverbs is the training of the young so that they will be able to discern right from wrong, and they will have what is necessary to choose godly wisdom and to walk in the way that leads to life. If you read Proverbs, you come across that word a lot, the way. There is a way that leads to life, and there is a way that leads to destruction. So when the writer says, train up a child in the way he should go, he is talking about that training of a child in the way that leads to life. That counsel is no less important today. Few things are more important than to teach our children to know and love the Lord and to walk in His ways. And that is why, as a pastor, I take children's ministry so seriously. Because I see it as a vital responsibility that God has laid on His people. Not only on parents, but on the community of faith as well, on all of us. And as we dedicated Marianne and Everett to the Lord this morning, we were called as a congregation to affirm, yes, we will support this family in the training of their children in whatsoever ways God enables us to do. But I want to just clarify, and I think it's an important point to make, that when I talk about the importance of children's ministry, I'm not talking about child-centered ministry. They're two different things. We live in a youth-oriented culture, and more the interests and values of the young are leading the way, not only in our culture, but too often in the church as well. But that mindset is exactly the opposite of what this proverb is saying. Children are not to be left to their own way, and they are certainly not to lead the way. Rather, we are to train our children in the way that they should go. So the fact that we live in a youth-oriented culture where children are the driving force behind so much of what we do makes it all the more important that we have a strong children's ministry that is committed to training children in the way that they should go. Not one that focuses the ministry of the church on satisfying the young, but one that is committed to showing them the way of life. I am thankful for the teachers and the volunteers in our children's ministry who invest themselves in the spiritual nurture and training of our children and our youth. It is a corporate effort. We are all in it together, and all of us have a stake and how well we do it. Because as God called the people of Israel, your future depends on your commitment to this task. I'm thankful that those teachers and volunteers recognize the importance of fulfilling this responsibility before God as a community of faith, and they are committed to cultivating the spiritual life of the generations that come behind us. They're committed to preparing them to carry the light of truth and the good news of the gospel into the future. What a tremendous ministry that is. Amen? At the same time, while it is important that we take this task seriously as a community of faith, there is no substitute for the role of parents. It's the training, parents, that your children receive at home and not at church that is most important to their spiritual growth. Moses' instructions for the teaching of Israel's children were oriented to the home and to the family. He said, "Teach your children God's ways as you sit in your house, as you walk along the road, when you lie down for bed, and when you get up in the morning. Write those things on the doorposts of your houses. Fill your homes with godly instruction." Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How do you do that? What does that look like? How do we train up children in the way they should go? We have been blessed, as someone mentioned earlier in the service, to have had a baby boom recently. And so we have actually some young families that have just started out along this road of parenthood. Some of us have already finished the road and sort of finished. I don't know if you're ever finished, right, as a parent. And others are somewhere along in the middle on the trajectory. But I want to suggest to you several disciplines, those of you who are parents, several disciplines for your family life that will assist you as you seek to train your children up in the way of the Lord. First of all, read God's word together as a family. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, again, Moses, speaking to the people of Israel, said, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. The word of God is life for God's people. And for those of us who are parents, this discipline of exposing our children to the word of God so that they know what it says, they understand it, is one of the best gifts that you can give to your children. And not only so they know what it says, but also so they recognize its authority. The word of God speaks to us. It gives us direction and wisdom, and it tells us what is true. It tells us also what is good and what is right. And the fact is that no one, especially children, can know what is right to do or what is true if they don't know what God's word says. And so this is a major issue that we're dealing with in the church today. There are a lot of people who love Jesus, but don't know what Jesus' commands are. And Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. We need to teach our children the word of God. So do what Moses commanded Israel to do. Read it to them in the morning when they wake up and in the evening when they go to bed. Talk about what it says and explore with them what it means. And in doing so, you will provide your children with a firm foundation that will serve them well for their entire life. Secondly, teach them to pray. And by saying that, I mean that I think we should do more than teach them to pray at meals or at bedtime. Those are important times to pray. But as Moses reminded the people of Israel, God is with us all of the time. And as we teach our children to pray and lead them to bring their fears and their worries and their problems to God in the ups and downs of daily life, you are teaching them that God is always near to them and he is concerned and he is available. And along with teaching them to bring those kinds of things, their worries and concerns, I encourage you also to express your gratitude to God in prayer. When you're with your children and you see a beautiful sunset, stop and thank God for the goodness and the beauty of what he has made. Or whatever else calls him to mind, don't let that moment pass without passing on to your children an awareness, God is here. He is in this. And we can communicate to our kids how close God is as we teach them to pray. I remember as a kid when I would visit my grandparents in town, if I would stay the night, it was their practice every morning to kneel at their couch for what seemed to be 4 or 5 hours a day in prayer. And I'll be honest that there were many days when there were a lot of other things that I thought of that I would rather be doing. But I was profoundly impacted by their example and their commitment to pray. They led me into the presence of the Father. Parents, lead your children into the presence of the Father. Thirdly, teach them to obey. Proverbs tells us that the way of life is the way of obedience. In our culture, obedience doesn't get a lot of press. It's not a very popular idea. But in Scripture, obedience is life. Because when we obey God, we know we are living the way that he designed us to live. And his commands are not there to limit our lives, but to show us how to live life well. So the key to a rich and full life is to learn to trust and obey the Lord. So I encourage those of you who are parents to teach your children to obey you, so that when the day comes when you have to let go of that bike and they are on their own, they will understand that the best of life is in transferring their obedience and their trust from you to their Heavenly Father. Fourth, share the gospel with them. The goal of Christian parenting is not to produce well-behaved kids. It's a good thing if you can produce well-behaved kids. But the goal of Christian parenting needs to go beyond that. To introduce our children to Jesus Christ so that they might come to trust him for their salvation from sin. That they would understand that they are sinners, but that God has come and that their sin does not need to separate them from God, but his grace is greater than all of our sin. And they can trust in what Christ has done for them on the cross in order that they might be saved. Fifth, show them your own faith. In spite of what we say, our children will know if our faith is authentic, based on how we live. So it is essential that we live our own relationship with God in front of them honestly and authentically so that our children can see that we are serious about our own faith. We are serious about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.